Hey, everybody. Steve here in the Illinois recording studio. We were talking about doing some additional content for YouTube and for podcasts. And instead of them being just interviews, some of them would be along the lines of sharing information about playing and about drums and other things in general. And we wanted to do one. And instead of calling these lessons, because I'm not trying to necessarily teach you anything, but just share information. So we're going to call these little episodes Steve Sessions. And we thought what we would do here, one of them I wanted to talk about was the bass drum. And in that regard, I want to talk about it a little bit in terms of how it was used over the years. The bass drum has evolved from days when it was a very large instrument. So let's go back to the early 1900s, and we're looking at the era of kind of like Dixieland, bands that didn't even have a bass player. There was no bass player. If there was a low-end fundamental sound, it was coming from probably a tuba, something like that. So you had something that had to hold down the pulse and had to create the bottom end and be used as a rhythm to keep things together. And keep in mind one more thing. When you think about time elements, okay, there were no ride cymbals back in the early days. There was a bass drum and a big one, usually a 28-inch bass drum. There was a snare drum, and there were some oriental tack bottom toms, perhaps some Chinese temple blocks, a few small little splash cymbals, little things like that, effects. There was no hi-hat. So if you wanted a tempo to be kept, that tempo needed to be kept basically with the combination of the bass drum and what it's doing with the snare drum. But the pulse was going to be kept by the bass drum. In that regard, those drums were going to be a little bit bigger for a lower pitch. So you got generally a 28-inch bass drum. It's going to have a low fundamental pitch with those calfskin heads. And you probably had a little bit more oomph to what we used to call four on the floor, meaning playing the bass drum on every quarter note. But in those days, when you were responsible for holding the whole thing together, that four on the floor would be a little bit heavier. So it would be not a light four on the floor, but a heavy four on the floor. So along these lines. Very strong. Now, this is an 18-inch bass drum, so you're not going to hear the same fundamental low level. But you get the point. The point is it was used to keep the pulse. It was very important to keep that pulse going. So that was early days. You start to migrate beyond that a little bit, and let's start getting into the big band era. And then you've got things changing a little bit in the drum set. In the drum set, it's changed so that now you have a ride cymbal. Now you have a hi-hat. You have toms. So that bass drum is being used for accents more than anything else, and for what I call a pulse, feathering. So you've also got a bass player now. So it's big band. You've got a bass player. But you also, sometimes you want to be sitting there and using that bass drum, and we call it feathering, which is just lightly playing four notes to the bar, very softly. Or two, you know, one and three. Or like that. So, when you think of it that way, it allows the pulse to be felt along with the bass, and it helps to keep the band moving. And you've got the hi-hat on two and four, which locks your rhythm in, and you've also got the ride cymbal. But then in terms of accents, that bass drum is very important for accents. And a lot of people think, well, you do the accents, you crash the cymbal. You can, but you have to think about a big band. Think about what goes on in a big band. You've got 18 pieces there. And a lot of those are horns. You probably got four trumpets, right? You probably got three trombones, maybe four. You probably got five saxes. When you've got those accents are basically coming primarily out of the horn section. So it's primarily out of the trumpets. And you got to think about where the trumpets sit sonically in the mix. The trumpets are high. The pitch is high. So if you get an accent and you kick that accent and you crash the cymbal at the same time that the horns play that accent, you have just washed out the horn section. And you don't want to do that. So what you want to do instead is figure out how to catch the accent and then also not wash out the horn section. So instead of, you do. Instead of, assuming that was a crash cymbal, don't wash them out. So you're playing time. That's where you can do the kick. And if you assume each one of those bass drum strokes would have been where there was a hit from the horn section, the low tone of that bass drum supports the kick and doesn't wash out the rest of the horn section, doesn't wash out the horn section. So that's another use for it. Then you take it another step further, and you go to, from big band, you go to the bebop era. And when you start thinking about this now, the drums started to become smaller because these are smaller ensembles. So you go from an 18-piece big band down to anything from a trio to, let's say, generally speaking, five or six guys. So you're going to have piano, bass, and drums, generally speaking. You know, one or two horns, maybe, you know, trumpet, tenor, and maybe trumpet, tenor, and trombone. But at the end of the day, in bebop, and you can thank Kenny Clarke for a lot of this, where Kenny was responsible for taking that time element, moving it over to the ride cymbal, and then using the bass drum for what they used to call dropping bombs. So you think about it for a second, it frees up the rhythm a little bit. So instead of being locked into this, you have this. The time is still there, but it's more fluid. It dances around a little bit more. It's not as rigid. It's not as structured. So that was a real, real key component in bebop, because you've got a lot of different things going on, and it's a more of a freedom of expression with bebop. So it's not as tight. It's not as rigid. You have more liberties, but the time still needs to be there. You've got the cymbal keeping time. You've got the hi-hat on 2 and 4. You know, patterns you play on the cymbal vary a little bit, but everything is still there. The bass drum's used for accents. The snare drum is also used for accents instead of just playing on 2 and 4. And it all works in bebop. By the same token, when you start thinking about all this, when you think about tonality in a bebop environment, you want these drums to kind of complement each other nicely. And I'm moving this paper for a reason. So when I think of it in a bebop scenario, I think of that bass drum as the root note of a chord. This floor tom as the third, and this tom as the fifth. So, along those lines. Again, in a general sense, could be a true third, a minor third, major third, minor third, maybe a fourth, whatever you like. And you don't tune to specific notes, because that isn't really possible with an instrument like this, but you tune to pitches. So you're looking for the tonal blend here. So, a little bit more of a complete sound between those three drums, as opposed to if you were playing in a rock setting, which we'll go to next, where that bass drum may be a lot different. It's not going to be as open. These drums are open. And you think about this on all of these examples I've talked about going back so far, all of those are examples where the bass drums are pretty much wide open, meaning there's no huge amount of muffling going on here. Those drums are tuned to be open and to project. Remember, no amplification. That sound had to reach the back end of the hall, whether it's a club or a major performance hall. That bass drum needs to reach. It needs to project. So you're not going to have a lot of muffling on those drums. In the world of bebop, you want that musical sense between the drums so that you've got those nice pitches, the musical pitches. And later on in rock, you want that bass drum to be a little drier, and a more staccato attack. You don't want as much resonance because you want to lock in with the bass. So if you've got, let's just say, anything. In a funk environment, you've got a pattern. So you've got, you get the drift. that bass drum is basically mimicking what's going on with the electric bass. So you've got that drum needs to be a little drier sounding. It needs to be a quick sound, a dry sound, not a lot of overtones. It can be a deep sound, but again, you got to take some of those overtones out because you don't want it ringing a lot. You want to lock it in and be tight with the bass. So when you think about all of these things, that bass drum has served a lot of different purposes over a long period of time. Going back to, again, early ragtime era, it functions in a certain way. When you get into the big band era, it functions in another different way, the way you use it for accents. You get into bebop, and it's, again, it's another different animal. You get into rock, it's a different animal again. So there's a lot of different things that go on here, and I think we sometimes just kind of take it for granted. That's a bass drum, you know, big deal. What's the big deal? It actually is a big deal, and it actually helped to cement things, and still does to this day. It helps to lock down the rhythm, irregardless of what else you're doing. The bass drum is very important. You're locked in with the bass player. If it's a jazz environment, the bass player is walking. He's walking four notes to the bar. So then when you're playing in bebop and you're doing different things here with the time and different accents with the bass drum, the time is still there. With the bass player is walking four, you're doing this, or you come back, you shift back and forth, and it works. And it's an interesting thing. So those are my thoughts on the whole concept of bass drum. And I'll play a little bit for you here at the end, just so you can get a sense for, in my opinion, the musical sense of tuning here between the three drums and the fact that this is not just a thud at the end, it's actually a more musical note. So, thanks. Hope you enjoyed this one. I'll play a little bit for you, and then we'll be on to another one in a little bit.